You have your Bibles this morning. I want to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to read a few verses, starting at verse number 1. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy unto the bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." Amen. Just a vision that Ezekiel saw, carried away by the Spirit of the Lord, setting him down in the midst of a valley full of bones, dry bones. And today I just want to preach to you for here a little while this morning about issues. Amen. Issues. We ask the Lord to help us here today. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. You know all things. You know every life that is represented in this place. Every circumstance, every happening, there is nothing that is hidden to your eyes. I pray, God, that you would reach down and that you would help us this morning, that your spirit would go to and fro. Lord Jesus, that your word would do as it has been designed to do, God. Lord, send forth help here this morning. Touch hearts, touch minds, and we'll praise you and give you the glory. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a good hand clap of praise today. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. The wise man said in the book of Solomon, in a couple of different places, he said that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Job even stated and said that man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. And that's just the tendency of humanity. We oftentimes get ourselves into a world of trouble. And we don't even have to try very hard to do that. Just a simple little wrong mistake here, a little off in direction there, and before we know it, we are so far off the path that we oftentimes wonder and look back at it and say, how did I ever get here? And that is the story of life. Life has a way of taking you places that in many cases you never dreamed and never imagined that you would be and that you would go to. It has a lot of positives that are brought into your life, but there are also a lot of negatives that are brought into your life. And I was doing some studying this week upon the human mind and the power that is in the mind. And just you going back to an old phrase that was stated, and it said, whether you can or you can't, you're right. You're right. And so there is this thing, it's called the power of positive thinking. But as I began to read into this, I saw that the mind is an extremely powerful organ that is in the body. And that when whatever the mind focuses upon, that tends to be the direction that it is taken. And so when an individual is focused upon negativity and evil and such like that, then that is the path that their life would take. And that it takes a mindset and a change of mindset to change that direction. It takes this decision within them to do that. And some people said, I cannot do that. But it has been proven time and time again that when an individual purposes to do that, and if they set their mind to it, surround themselves with people of like-mindedness, that they began to do these things and come out of the hole that they are in. If you want to be a negative person, hang around with negative people. But if you want to be a positive person, then hang around with positive people. If you want to be a joyful person, don't hang around with people that are always sad. And if you want to be a sad person, you can't hang around with people that are always laughing. Because my mind just failed me. I'm going to have to sue it for lack of support. Amen. Praise God. But there is a danger. There is the ability to be around these things that would cause us to feel these things and the positive or the negative vibes that would be there. But the mind is so much more complex than that. And in your mind, there are things that scientists have studied for multiple centuries and they still cannot understand. That most everything they can put a name to, and they can understand the purpose and the function of that mind. But there is a place that is deep down in the recesses of every human. It is a place that they do not know really how to engage. And they have taken these wires and these probes and stuff, and they have hooked them to people and trying to get the electrons and things to fire off in the mind of this certain area so that they might be able to understand it. And no matter how nor what they do to excite the mind, the body, or so, they cannot get this to fire. But they have realized that when an individual gets into a spiritual place, that these begin to come to life. And they have taken people and put them in moments of prayer and moments of meditation, and they have seen these electrons and stuff begin to fire away and begin to light up. And it just simply says, amen, that there is a place that is designed even in the mind that God created for Him alone. For Him alone, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. And with this, the Bible just simply says that God created man in His own image. In the image of Him created He male and female. And it's just simply that, but it is the intrinsics of all of this that baffles the doctors and the scientists. But tucked into the human mind, there is a place that only God can really talk to and deal with. And I simply said that to state that there is a place in the mind that acts as your buffering zone, that acts as the conscience, that would keep us from doing things that are detrimental to body and to soul. It is the pause that we might have, not necessarily the fear, but it's the pause and the second thought that we might have and that we might give credence to stop and to think about things before and that we do them. And teenagers, we can accuse them and say to ourselves and even to them and say, you know, what were you thinking? And the matter of the fact is that they really weren't thinking anything at all, that they really were not thinking. But yet there is something on the inside that goes beyond human logic that causes humanity to pause. Let me go over to the book of Romans, and I can explain it to you a little better. As the book of Romans would be basically the Old Testament summed up into the gospel of Paul. And Paul began to talk about the law and the Jews and how that they had the laws, which just simply meant that they had all of the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots. That they knew what was right and they knew what was wrong. And they knew that if they did wrong, that there were consequences to those wrongs. They knew that the scripture had said the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. They knew the power of the blood of the Lamb, the atonement that was there for them. They knew the power, amen, of God Almighty and His ability to do knew these things, but they had also seen the wrath of God many times, as God would open up the ground and swallow up Korah, or as God would send the fiery serpent among them, or even give them over to their idols through the enemies that would come and would conquer them. They knew the consequences of their decisions. But Paul said it like this. He said that you do the things that are in the law because that you know it. But the Gentiles also do by nature the things that are in the law. In other words, they don't really have an understanding of necessarily what is right and what is wrong. They don't have this good book, amen, to teach them and to tell them that this is something you should do and this is something that you should not do. But there's just something on the inside of them that tells them there's just something wrong with this. There's just something that doesn't seem right with this. And that's the conscience. That's the part within the human mind that causes you to stop and to linger and to think about some things. And when you bypass that moment in your life, when you get past that moment and you go beyond what logic says or even that gut feeling says, and you get to that place where you step over the boundaries of things, then you begin to suffer the consequences thereof. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. I could take you down a whole long list of items that you don't need a law to tell you that certain things are wrong. And I just submit to you tonight, amen, this morning, that why is it that a child that has never been taught thou shalt not steal, amen, but yet he gives pause there at the candy box as he looks all about him, amen, and around him, and putting his hand over there and shaking him as he takes one and hides it in his pocket? If it's not wrong, why do you have to hide it? If it's not wrong, then why do you have to keep it such a secret? Why is it that an individual, a man, will look you in the eyes, but yet there is the hesitation and the pause before that they would speak a lie unto you? There's just something about it that doesn't feel right. It's that child with his hands behind his back, looking at mom and dad and shaking his head. No, I didn't do it. But fear is written all over them. Guilt is written all over them. There's that place within humanity that God has put. We can take it up further than all of that. And we can talk about the other sins that God has put in the Bible that we still preach about. Why is it, amen, that you don't really have to be taught concerning adultery, but yet when an individual begins to look into that, there are so many roadblocks, there are so many detours, there are so many stop signs that are placed there that would prevent them and hinder them from going through with that. That hesitation, that is the God-given mechanism within humanity that tries to keep us out of trouble. But beyond all of this, we get ourselves in trouble quite often. Beyond all of this, we get ourselves in a place, amen, that we wonder how that we're going to get out of. And we find ourselves with a lot of regrets and a lot of condemnation in our life and a lot of things that we wish that we could rewind time and say, I just wish that I could go back and I could redo some of these things. I wish that I could go back and remake this decision here in my life, and I just wonder where I would be if I had made a different decision. Amen. Even as I am preaching here today, you are thinking about certain situations in your life that you wish that you could go back and change a few things. Some memories that you would to God that you didn't have. Some scars that are in your life, amen, that you knew were preventative, that you didn't have to take, that you didn't have to go through. And the scars remind you of the hurt that was there.
there, and maybe even the bitterness that was there, and the strife and the turmoil and the anger that was there. Amen. And it didn't have to be so, because God had tried to help you in that situation. Praise God. And so we come to this text here today, and we see that here is Ezekiel, and he is carried away by the Spirit, and he is placed in a valley that is full of dry bones. And in this valley, and there are all these dry bones that are about to and fro throughout the place. And he looks upon these bones, and these bones have a story that are about them. Ezekiel doesn't know it. Ezekiel doesn't know exactly why there are bones that are here in this place. Ezekiel doesn't know exactly what happened or what caused these this thing. It could be, as he would state, that there was a valley full of dry bones, and later he would state that there was a great and a mighty army that was standing up before him. And so maybe it was an army, and what happened to that army? Was there an enemy that was able to sneak up and to destroy them? Was there some type of disease that got in upon them that caused them that would cause them to be afflicted by the sickness, and that they would succumb to it and would die? Was there just something there? What happened? Was there a backstabber? Was there somebody that led them into that trap that would cause them to be overwhelmed and overcome by their enemy? There was a story that was there that Ezekiel did not know the reason behind all of it. But what he did know was that there were the consequences. What he did know was that there was a valley that was full of dry bones there, and the Lord began to ask him, can these bones live? Is there a way that these bones can live? And Ezekiel just simply said unto the Lord, "Thou knowest." And so what I'm telling you here today is that there were issues that these bones had. There was something that had overcome them, whether it had overcome them one by one, and this was a graveyard of some extent, or whether this was something that overtook them as an army. But yet there was all of this that happened, and these issues that these bones had. And so God asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Can they?" Obviously, we look at them and say they did not survive. But is there life beyond all of this? And if you were to ask the bone there, and that they would be able to speak to you, the answer would simply be no. There is no hope. We are done. We are finished. We have lost all of the blood that is within inside of us. We have lost all of the protection that we had. We have lost any dream that we might have had. And they would simply state, "It is finished. It is over." And Ezekiel could have answered the Lord and said the obvious: "No, there is no way that these bones can live, because I see that there are no internal organs. There's no skin. There's no. There's nothing. There is no way that these bones can live." But Ezekiel looked at the Lord and he said, "Lord, you know." And so the Lord began to speak to him, and he said, "I'm going to tell you to prophesy unto these bones, and say, 'O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' And then I'm going to tell you to prophesy, and that the wind would come, and I will cause breath to enter into the into them, and they shall live." Now, what we are looking at is the impossible. What we are looking at goes beyond human reasoning. What we are looking at defies all logic. But yet Ezekiel understands that if there is any possibility that there could be life, that there could be hope, that there could be any future for these bones, it's got to be in God. And I wonder how many people are sitting here today, and I wonder how many people are in this city today, that they have got major issues, and they have come to the place in life that they just don't feel there is any hope that is left. They just don't feel like their dreams are shattered, and that there is nothing that they can accomplish and nothing that they can do, and that the enemy has lied to them and told them that it is over, that it is finished in their life. I've come today to tell you that it's not over as long as the Lord our God has something to say so about it. I'm talking about the God that can stand upon the time of darkness and say, let there be light, and there was light. I'm talking about the God that can frame this world by his spoken words. I'm talking about the God, amen, that after there was light, he can say, let there be a sun and let there be a moon. God doesn't have to have matter to make it happen. God doesn't have to have physical properties to make it happen. All God's got to do is speak. I'm talking about the God that can stand upon the trouble waters and say, peace be still, and immediately the winds and the waves have got to die down to the place that you would look and say, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? I'm going to tell you who it is. It's God. It's a God that loves you. It's a God that cares for you. It's a God that has an all-seeing eye. It's a God that understands issues. It's a God that understands scars. It's a God that has a way. It's a God that says, hey, if I am for you, then who can be against you? Let's love him this morning. Amen. Let me talk to you for a few more minutes about this God that you and I serve. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost, that which was hurting, that which had no hope, that which had issues. He came to seek and to save them that were lost. And so in the remainder of this chapter, we see that the Lord begins and he says, I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you that you should live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And so he prophesied as he was commanded, and there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bone came together, bone to his bone. Amen. Some people call church nothing but noise. Amen. But I want to see it as there is a spiritual action that is happening. There is something in the spirit that is defying logic. You don't understand everything about it. Amen. I don't understand everything about God, but one thing that I do understand and know is that if God is in it, it's going to be okay. That if God is for it, then it's going to work out all right. I choose to place my hands and my life into his hands. And so there was a noise that was rattled about. Amen. Praise God. I like it when we have church and we have some noise going on. I cannot stand dead, dull, dry church. I cannot stand, amen, church that is just pomp and circumstances. Amen. But when you understand how good God has been to you, there ought to be a praise that's in your lips. There ought to be a praise that comes out of you. It ought to be easy to magnify God. It ought to be easy to lift him up and to bless his holy name. You're looking at people that were separated from sin. You're looking at people that were addicted to drugs. You're looking at people who were hooked on alcohol. You're looking at people who had a whole lot of issues. You're looking at people who were dead in their trespasses. But God, according to his mercy, he called out to us. He called us by name out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. And we responded to that voice. Amen. God said, I'll love you when nobody else will love you. I'll care for you when nobody else will care for you. I'll give you hope when nobody else will even give you a second chance. And look at you today. You're in the house of God because of your goodness. No, by his mercy, by his grace, for your rags. Amen. He gave you riches and he put his name upon you. Praise God. Amen. And so there was a noise that began to happen, and bone began to come to his bone. You know why? Because we need structure. If I take all of the bones out of your body, you'll just be a limp dish rag laying on the floor. And you know what? God understands that. And so God wants to bring structure to your life. God begins to put some things in your life. God begins to organize things in your life. It was not a hand bone connecting to an ankle bone. It was not the arm bone connecting to the head and to the skull. Amen. But it was leg bone connecting to leg bone, connecting to hip bone, connecting to spine, connecting to shoulder joints, connecting to arms. Amen. Connecting to hands, connecting to fingers, connecting to a skull. God was putting structure and organization in that person. Why? Because God wants you to make it. God wants you to last. God wants you to survive. God wants you to be able to stand against the winds of false doctrine. God wants you to be able to stand when temptation comes your way. God wants you to be able to stand up with the backbone and say, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to give in. God knows what you need, and he's going to empower you with what you need. But that's not it. That's not it. We see that bone came to his bone. Ezekiel said, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews of the flesh came upon them. Amen. Sinew began to come. Muscle and tendon began to attach itself. Where did it come from? I don't know. God sent it. These were dry bones. But all of a sudden, muscle and tendon comes together. You know why? Because God's got a plan to hold your life together. That's why. God doesn't plan on you falling apart, amen, just at every little thing that happens. But God's got a plan to hold you together. And so God knows the temptations and the trials that are going to come your way. And God knows the hurt that's going to try to tear you apart. But God has meticulously put into you the tendons that connects bone to bone. And the muscles that give the bone its structure and its ability to move. Amen. Because God's not willing that you just lay there and to suffer. But God wants you to have life and life more abundantly. Amen. What life is there? What joy is there when you just sit there monotone? When you just sit there and there's no hope and there's no joy, but God's got a future for you. And he puts the bone together. Amen. And then he puts the tendons upon it. And he puts the muscle upon it. Amen. So that you're going to be able to move. That you'll be able to enjoy a few things. And then there was skin that came and it covered the ligaments upon all of these bones. And we know that skin, amen, is the greatest defense against disease. The greatest defense, amen, against bacteria that is in the world. And God knows that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. He knows that we're going to be affected by different detrimental diseases in the spirit. That there are going to be spirits that are going to try to wind you and dine you and pull you down and cause you to falter and cause you to fall. But God said, I'm going to give you protection above all of that. And so he clothed them with his royalty, clothed them with his holiness. Amen. And we are holy now before him. But yet there was nothing within inside to give them life. And so the Lord spoke unto Ezekiel, and he said, now I want you to stand up, and I want you to prophesy unto them. I want you to preach unto these dead bones, and I want you to say, wind, come and blow upon these bones. And Ezekiel stood up, and he began to preach unto the dead bones. And when he did, there came a wind, amen, that began to blow out over his congregation there. And all of a sudden, somebody sat up, and somebody paid attention, and somebody listened. And before long, there was an exceeding mighty army that stood before Ezekiel. I'm here to tell you today, I don't care what your issues are. I don't care what your problems are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care if you feel like you're crushed, dead, and plucked up by the roots. I don't care if you feel like there's no hope. I don't care if you feel like your dream has vanquished. I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, that God can come breathe into your life the Holy Ghost, and you can become a new creature in Christ. Oh, let's love him today. Let's love him today. Praise God.
Amen. We know that the Lord is speaking concerning the house of Israel and the Jews and how that they had descended down and overwhelmed and basically dead. Oh, they were still operating. But we know that Christ came amongst them and began to preach and to teach them. And they refused to hear what he had to say. They refused his message of repentance. As he told them, repent or perish. They refused his message of baptism. As he told them, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. They didn't want to hear all of that. There was a time when they came unto Jesus or unto John the Baptist and they said, we would that you would baptize us. And John said, who hath warned you of the wrath of God to come? He said, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You don't need to be baptized first. You need to go repent of your sins. You need to stop sinning. Stop doing all the things that you know is wrong because there's something that God has dealt with you about. You need to stop that. You need to put it behind you. And then you can come unto me bringing forth fruit meat unto repentance. And we'll talk about baptism. Because that's the way that it is. But you see, that's not the way that it is in this day and time. Amen. In this day and time, everybody just wants to pat you on the back, make you feel good about yourself, and send you on your way. I'm sorry, that's not going to get you into heaven. Feeling good about being a sinner is not good enough. For the Bible said that when Jesus came, he said he came to seek and to save them from their sin. Amen. God hasn't come to save you in your sin. God came to save you from your sin. Amen. And when you are a new creature in Christ, you're going to stop sinning. You're not going to be sinning like they, amen, like everybody else that is out there. There's going to be something in your life that's going to change. Paul said, all things are passed away. All of the issues that I had are passed away. All of the addictions that I had are passed away. All of the scars that I had are on the other side of the blood. Amen. He said, you are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And so we know that the Jews took all of this all the way up into Acts chapter number 2. And you will see that in Acts chapter number 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and one accord. The Bible said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so they all got the Holy Ghost. But go outside that room, and you would see that there dwelling in Jerusalem were devout men. Here come the Jews. The devout men, the people, amen, that thought they had it all together. And I want you to watch as Ezekiel 37 is reenacted right here in Acts chapter number 2. Because all of a sudden, they began to mock. Why? Because they had issues. And they looked at Peter, and they said, these men are drunk. And Peter said, they're not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel chapter number 2, verse number 28. He said that in the last days, saith the Lord, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And what happened was that Peter began to preach unto those dead, dry bones. Amen. That was visualized in Ezekiel 37. Devout men, people that were religious but didn't have the answer, people that had a facade about them, but they were dry bones, they were dead. Amen. But as Peter began to preach to them, amen, there was something that hit them in the top of the head and began to ignite that place in the mind that only God knows how to do. And as Peter preached unto them, and he said, this same Jesus whom you have crucified is now both Lord and Savior. Amen. When they were said and done, these devout men, these religious men, they were pricked in their heart, and they looked at Peter, and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to
all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. That's the message that needs to be preached in this day and age. You're not saved in your sin. You're not saved by your good works. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to repent of your sins. You need to repent of all of the doping and smoking. You need to repent of all of your wayward ways. You need to repent of your lying and your theft and your cheating. You need to repent of your vulgar mouth. You need to repent of a promiscuity. You need to repent of all of these things and get right with God. And when you do, you can receive the Holy Ghost, just as was in Acts 2 when the wind of God blew into that upper room and filled them with the Spirit. Can we stand here and give the Lord praise tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul told them in Ephesians chapter number 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the flesh, amen, and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace are we saved. It's the grace of God that has led you here today. It's the grace of God that has me here today. It's the preaching that's going to save us today. It's the preaching that's going to save me today. I've got to respond to the wind. I've got to respond to the Spirit, and as we respond, let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow through this place and do the work that needs to be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. These altars are open here this morning. Amen. If anybody wants to come, amen. You may have a whole lot of issues. You may have things in your mind. You may have things in your life that just seem to have drug you down, that just seems to overwhelm you. Issues. No ability to stand. No ability to hold it together. No structure in your life. No way to withstand temptation and the enemy. Oh, but let God speak to you today. Let God deal with you today. Let God minister to you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you just pray here this morning? God, I'll be whatever you want me to be. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Man, maybe you want to tell him, God, I'm through running. God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of this life that I'm living. I'm tired of living in a life with no hope. I'm tired of being overwhelmed with life's issues. I'm tired of running from the authorities. I'm tired of looking around at everything that my life seems to have grown, and it's nothing but chaos and confusion and regret. And God, would you speak to my life? Would you deal with my heart? Would you deal with my mind? God, would you breathe some hope into my life today? Come on, if you'll call out to him, he'll help you. Oh, yes, he will. If you'll cry out to him, he'll come. The Bible said that he's as close as the mention of his name. Ah, yeah. There is a God that still knows where you're at, knows what you're going through, knows everything that you're facing. And there's a God that had the answer before you had the question, had the solving problem, had the solution before you had the problem. And there is a God that has all understanding and has all of the answers. And the Bible calls him faithful and just. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let the Lord deal with you today. Oh, God, here I am. Here I am. God, I can't go any further. My issues have overwhelmed me. My issues seem to have snuffed the life out of me. My problems, my dilemmas overcome me. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Oh, that's it. Talk to him. I need you, Jesus.